Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
I'm doing wonderful and glad I'm not an energy magnate because apparently it gets you shot.
As long as you're not despicably evil, I think energy magnates actually have a pretty good life going generally.
Really? Well,
yeah, I know. Simpsons is not necessarily the thing you need to watch for like the complete, total representation of reality.
But I believe everything the Simpsons say. Is that a bad thing?
No, that's perfect. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus content, including weekly episode reviews, weekly written articles by me, monthly bonus episodes, and more. Just go check that out. Really appreciate it. We have someone to thank you. Thank Matthew.
Ooh. Matthew?
We have someone to thank, Matthew.
Oh, okay. I thought we had to thank a Matthew. And no. I was like, everyone knows Matthews are evil.
No. Oh, wow. All right. Wesley Mead. Thank you very much, Wesley.
Thank you, Wesley. You rock.
Some brief business before we get on this week's episode. One, if you can't tell, I have a cold. I am trying to do my best to fight it off. If I cough and make sick noises, I'm going to try and edit them out my best. But please excuse any extraneous sick noises and or voice things that happen, and I'm on cold medicine, so I'm probably a little loopy. Also, finally I've gotten the go ahead to move, so I am moving. By the time you hear this, I'll be driving to Canada, to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So no new episode next week. I'll be driving most of the week and don't know if I'm gonna have internet when I get there. It'll be our own little cliffhanger. One extra week.
That's true. It'll be 2 weeks and you won't know what happened to Mr. Burns.
I know.
Unless you have the internet.
Or watched every episode like most of you guys probably have. On to this week's episode. It's Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1, Episode 2F16, originally aired May 21st, 1995. Written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein. Directed by Jeffrey Lynch. Finished 51st in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 8.7. Fifth highest rated show on Fox that week. I would have thought it would have gone better. Because I know that this was a big deal.
It was definitely hyped. I remember this when I was a kid. I actually happened to be like, oh my gosh, what is going on, Mr. Burns?
Yeah, so we'll see how part two does. I have a feeling that part two is going to have particularly high ratings just because it's
the first. Well, that's true. Also, it's the first episode of the season.
First episode of the season, and it's a big cliffhanger thing's going to happen, so we'll see. The chalkboard gag. This is not a clue, or is it?
Or is it?
The couch gag family attempts to run across a continuously repeating background. It's, you know, cartoon gag.
It's classic, you know.
Yeah. Episode guest stars Tito Puente as himself. Matt Groening was a big
fan. That's a pretty deep cut for Simpsons fans.
Matt Groening was a big fan of Tito Puente. I believe that is why he was included. As, you know.
As well he should be, and so should we all.
Episode begins with Principal Skinner opening the elementary school doors. What time do you think Principal Skinner gets to school, Matt?
It depends when it starts. I'm thinking like right after daylight. It's like 6:15, 6:30 in the summertime.
Well, you wouldn't get there in the summertime. There's no summer. Like,
okay, not summertime, but like June. Apparently there are some schools that are actually in session in June. Those crazy people.
The school smells worse than normal. It is because...
Which has got to be pretty bad when it's Springfield Elementary.
The fourth grade gerbil, Super Dude, has died. It's a tragedy. Willie is given the task of burying Super Dude. I don't know why he's doing it inside the building.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, can you even dig through that floor?
It's Springfield Elementary. I wouldn't put anything past him. But he goes to dig a hole for poor old Super Dude and strikes oil, which blasts up through the school. Poor Ralph. Doesn't know.
Ralph is the kid who cried oil. Well, I guess.
Yeah, he cried oil, but he was actually absolutely correct. We get a brief scene which reminds me of what's that Coen Brothers movie, Hudsucker Proxy, which is the Coen Brothers in that movie are you know paying homage to many I think films from classic cinema, but I don't know any of them. But it is where Burns needs a package delivered, and so they are, you know, it's a lot of quippy dialogue and
a lot of alliteration.
Yeah,
a lot of alliteration.
The package gets sent through, but it's all a way for Homer to hand the package back to Mr. Burns because he doesn't know the difference between return and the return address and the mailing address.
Which, why Homer is in this line of people, I'm not sure.
He should not be probably have to handle any packages.
He's the safety inspector, so...
yeah, it doesn't...
I just feel like he's in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, but it is the first incident where... I mean, it is a running gag at this point. We all are aware of it. Miss Burns doesn't know Homer's name. He always forgets it. And here is another incident. And this time it is different because Homer recognizes that Mr. Burns doesn't know his name. And he's upset about it. And I mean, I can understand that. If my boss didn't know my name after 10 years of service, I'd be upset too.
Depends, like, if it's a CEO level person and you are a peon in a 5,000 employee organization, that's not a big deal. But I feel like, as we see in a later scene with Mr. Burns, he knows everybody's name. There's probably a few hundred, maybe a thousand people that work there. So that's stretching it when he's the CEO, but he seems to know everyone else's name, which is, I think, the real kick in the teeth for poor Homer.
Yeah. And we cut back to Skinner, who's inspecting the damage after the explosion.
My lord, such destruction. If Superintendent Chalmers, how are you going?
Why is it when I heard the word school and the word exploded, I immediately thought of the word Skinner?
Congratulations, gentlemen. Your custodian struck oil. You're standing on top of the richest elementary school in the state.
He also found this.
Thank you, Super Dude.
Poor Super Dude.
I like that Skinner... I think Oakley and Weinstein write Skinner and Chalmers scenes the best of any Simpsons writers. And the fact that we move right past it, but Skinner says to Superintendent Chalmers, how are you going?
Yeah. He's like, how's it going? How are you doing? You can tell he's obviously mashing those together. I do that all the time.
How are you going? They're rich, Skinner.
Essentially.
And Skinner and Chalmers are trying to figure out how to spend the money.
Superintendent, we made the front page today.
Now, what's that say under your hand there?
Hmm? Oh, it's an unrelated article.
It's an unrelated article.
Hmm?
Within the banner headline.
Yes. Now, to redirect our conversation slightly, I had a few ideas on how to spend this oil money.
Well, we could give each student a full college scholarship.
Oh, mercy.
That's... awful, but true.
Well, to be fair, yeah, I'm sure it's Springfield. A lot of it would be wasted on those kids.
Okay. All right, Skinner. I see how it is.
Would you really want to give Ralph Wiggum a college scholarship?
He needs it.
He needs vocational training is what he needs.
Frankly, I think vocational training is probably actually more useful for most people at this point. They do get to a slew of staff and student requests what to do with the money.
I want a crystal bucket for my slop water. Ooh, and a brand new filthy blanket.
The cafeteria staff is complaining about the mice in the kitchen. I want to hire a new staff.
I'd like to start a jazz program for the music department. We've got a really great instructor lined up.
Keto Puente.
Ready to give up the drudgery of the professional mambo circuit and settle into a nice teaching job.
Man, it will be my pleasure. Lisa has told me all your students are as bright and dedicated to jazz as she is.
Let's go now, Mr. Puente.
Chocolate microscopes?
You know these guitars that are like double guitars, you know?
More rubber stamps.
This episode is a tremendous job at... Like Glenn of Troy, the one episode we just came from, does a tremendous job at filling in character with the supporting cast of Springfield.
It does, and it does it in extremely tiny moments that you wouldn't expect to be all that important, but just it gives you a glimpse into these characters that we've seen before and just kind of rounds them out a little bit, and it just adds so much to the episode.
And it actually is, I think, it's vital for this episode in particular because... Mm-hmm. They are trying to build up as many culprits, as many suspects as possible. And so you have to give all of these characters enough time to establish a motive, establish that, you know, that they might be angry at Mr. Burns for.
And this is one way to do it really, really quickly. Like, you know, that was, what, 30, 40 seconds? And every single one of those people now has a motive for killing Mr. Burns, especially Ralph.
Especially...
Losing on a chocolate microscopes.
I know, man. You get that yanked out from under you. No more chocolate microscopes. I don't know if
guitars.
Double guitars. It's like, you know, double guitar. Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick is the band I think of when I think of double guitars. Maybe ZZ Top as well. I think they did it in one of their music videos. But at the end of, after all those requests, they get one more visitor, Mr. Burns in disguise.
Principal Skinner, this is your secretary. There is one last student here to see you.
That's odd. I don't have a secretary or an intercom. But send him in.
Oh, hey there, Dean. I understand you're taking suggestions from students, eh? Well, me and my fourth form chums think it would be quite corking if you'd sign over your oil well to the local energy concern.
Mr. Burns, it was naive of you to think I would mistake this town's most prominent 104-year-old man for one of my elementary school students.
I want that oil well. I've got a monopoly to maintain. I own the electric company and the waterworks, plus the hotel on Baltic Avenue.
That hotel's a dump and your monopoly is pathetic. The school's oil well is not for sale, particularly to a black-hearted scoundrel like yourself.
I see. Then I'll just have to attack you. I must have that oil. Smithers, help me subdue this beast.
Sorry, sir, this is all I can find. Take that and that.
Please don't waste those.
But hey, Skinner, you can totally waste them because you have all this money, right?
Right. I love the reaction of Skinner. It's that he's like, please don't waste the staples. We need those. We need the staples. But with that, that is when we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we get to the usual Act 2 intro, where the family is sitting at the table, the dinner table, basically addressing how downtrodden they all are. We begin with Bart, who is sad that they could not use the oil money to raise the dead. And once Bart realizes this, he's also like, yeah, they probably want to spend time with their families, too.
The Three Stooges, he wants to raise the Three Stooges from the dead, which is a strange... Three Stooges, Bart?
Come on, Bart would love the Three Stooges. It's all about physical violence. And if we've learned anything from Itchy and Scratchy, it's that's what Bart likes.
I mean, that's fair, but they would want to spend time with their family.
They would. If the dead came back to life, they'd probably be like, where's my family? But Homer is, of course, downtrodden over the fact that Mr. Burns cannot remember his name. So Marge comes up with a suggestion from something her father did. Put your picture underneath a box of candy, a box of chocolates in this case. And Homer is his usual self. And he said, that's all well and good, but it wasn't really your idea. Because Homer cannot give credit to anyone else, I guess.
Well, to be fair, he's right. It was her father's idea. He's technically correct.
That's true. He's technically correct. The best kind of correct. Moving on. We then cut to Mr. Burns and Smithers, who are essentially going through Mr. Burns' evil plan.
That's it. Rimble about with your widgets and doobabs. It'll all be a monument of futility when my plan comes to fruition.
Sir, what I'm about to say violates every sycophantic urge in my body, but I wish you would reconsider. This isn't a rival company you're battling with. It's a school. People won't stand for it.
Pish posh! It would be like taking candy from a baby. See, that sounds like a larf. Let's try it right now.
There's some candy right here, sir. Why don't we eat this instead of stealing?
Oh, very well.
So, yes, they begin to eat the candy, and then there's a time lapse, and we get to see them basically going through, oh, you know, that's Maggie. She's the one who found Bobo, and that's Bart. He was my heir for a brief period, and basically goes through everyone. But unfortunately for Homer, his picture was underneath the sour quince log, which I don't remember. Do you know what a sour quince log is or tastes like, Robbie?
I'm imagining the only chocolates I don't eat are the ones that taste like toothpaste. So I imagine that's what it is. It's one that tastes like toothpaste.
Oh, but I love those.
You're a weirdo.
That's true. I like mint with my chocolate.
But I love this. Again, this is another thing. It takes a very short amount of time. This scene is maybe 30 seconds, where Mr. Burns and Smithers eat this candy and talk about each of the Simpsons as they look at their picture.
It's like a little mini clip show.
Yeah, and it's very much like, hey, we are aware of the history of the show. You know, we oftentimes forget it, ignore it, or purposefully ignore it because we're trying to do something that we've already actually done before. But in this episode, they want to draw upon the entire history of Mr. Burns. They want us to remember all the times that he has interacted with the Simpsons, all the things he's done. and make it both to kind of exaggerate his nefarious behavior in this episode, and to illustrate how crazy it would be for him not to know Homer's name.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's able to call up one or two things about each of the other members of the Simpson family, whereas Homer has been involved in practically everything that Burns has ever done for the past several years.
It's really wonderful. They do this throughout this episode. It's just constantly moving back and forth, integrating history and supporting character and motivation for the entire universe of The Simpsons.
It absolutely does. And like you said, it's all about giving us motive, and they do it fantastically and very quickly. From there, we move back to the time to switch the pump on at Springfield Elementary. Everyone's gathered out front. They're doing a big presentation. Lisa, as the honor student or student body president, I forget which one they call her this time. She's all of those things.
Most successful. She's the most successful student, I believe that is.
Oh, okay. Refer to her. Of course. She's the most successful student, and therefore she gets to flick the button to turn the pump on. And she does, but only a little drop comes out. Which we learn that there's no pressure because for some reason these are the worst oil workers ever, and they only put the pipe to the top of the oil when everyone knows you're supposed to put it to the bottom.
Everyone knows that, Matt.
If you know anything about liquids in general and how to pump them, you put your tube all the way down to the bottom, because what happens after you pumped a little bit? Why would you ever put it at the top? That makes no sense at all.
It's Springfield. They don't have the best...
That's true. They have the worst engineers ever.
Exactly.
They need to go to West Springfield to get the good ones.
I think that's what Mr. Burns did.
That's probably because Mr. Burns and his slant drilling company apparently pumped it first. So they are able to have a giant explosion of oil, which, again, is not how oil wells work. There's not a giant explosion coming out at the top. That is a pressure release valve, and is usually set on fire to burn off the oil as it comes out. Generally, it goes into a tank somewhere. So this would not happen, but for the sake of the episode.
Slant drilling is a thing, though. I looked that up.
Oh, it definitely is. Absolutely is.
I didn't know that.
I mean, fracking in general is pretty much a mostly a something like that, slant drilling.
You're just too smart, Matt.
No. The oil shoots out of the top of the slant drilling company, and it hits across town. It runs into Bart's treehouse and just demolishes it. The tree is destroyed. Bart, who is up in the treehouse with Santa's Little Helper at the time, gets knocked to the ground. Luckily, Bart is not hurt, but unfortunately, Santa's Little Helper has had his back legs crushed. Marge is, of course, crazy with grief. Luckily, they get Santa's Little Helper to the vet, where we learn that he is going to be fine. His status has been upgraded from stable to frisky, and he's just got to wear some casts on his back legs and wear a cone for a little while. But, of course, this causes Bart to basically swear revenge against Burns, like pretty much everyone else in this episode, which, you know, we've all done that. We've all sworn revenge for someone hurting our animals, right, Robbie?
I have done it.
Of course.
I'm not kidding. I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm not kidding.
That's true. Revenge is a dish best served cold and in response to someone harming your animals. But we then move to Springfield Elementary, where Principal Skinner has a meeting with everyone involved in the school to let them know that the oil belongs to whoever pumped it first. Also, not true.
Matt,
but
come on. No, that's actually how it works. Be quiet. Shh. No, that's how it works.
Uh-huh. Sure.
You touch
sure.
it first, you get it. That's how it works. That's oil raw.
It's like calling dibs. That's oil dibs.
Yeah, essentially. Oil dibs. You got it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, at this point, we get to see even more people swearing revenge on Mr. Burns.
I'm afraid we've got no legal recourse against Mr. Burns and his slant drilling operation. The oil belongs to whoever pumped it first.
What about all the expensive stuff we wanted? Can we still have it?
No.
Blasted!
In fact, to pay for the construction and operation and demolition of our new derrick, the school will have to eliminate all non-essential programs. Music, and maintenance.
I'll kill that Mr. Burns! And wound that Mr. Smithers! Out of my way!
So yes, Mr. Burns is going to get killed and Smithers is going to get wounded, which is prophetic. That's pretty much exactly what happens. Although Smithers is more due to himself than Willie.
Hey, spoilers, Matt.
Sorry.
Quiet. What are you doing?
We then see Lisa commiserating with Tito Puente over the phone, because Tito Puente has no idea who Mr. Burns is, but Lisa informs him that she would also like to settle his hash, as it were. We then get to see the nice thank you card that Smithers had written up for Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie, and apparently Santos will help her as well. But Homer, well, he was not thanked.
Dad, how could you work for a man like Mr. Burns?
Well, he's not all bad. He did send me this nice thank you card.
Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie. Dad, this doesn't have your name on it.
Kids, would you step outside for a second?
Dear Lord, that's the loudest profanity I've ever heard.
Beautiful.
Absolutely wonderful. I always wondered if there was somewhere that you could actually hear that, but apparently there is not. This is I've found, but that's just absolutely fantastic.
I think if you knew, if you were in on the recording when Dan Castellaneta originally recorded it, I think I recall that generally any swears that they end up bleeping or obscuring, he actually just says. So I think that was your only chance.
Oh, it's good point anyway. We see after that amazing profanity that Moe's is apparently right next door to the slant drilling operation, and there's a whole bunch of fumes coming off of it, which I guess is a thing. I don't know enough about oil drilling, but I would assume that's probably true. The EPA shows
Matt,
up and
Matt, essentially, just like everything else in this episode, it is 100% completely accurate.
That's true. They did Science. All of their research.
Science.
Uh-huh. But the EPA shows up in their environmental suits and basically says that they can't believe that people are still alive inside Moe's Bar.
Man alive, there are men alive in here.
I know, I really wanted to record this, but that's the only good line, and I figure you would help me out there.
Man alive, there are men alive. It's so smart. Oh, so good.
You have to pause. Like, man alive, there are
men alive. Men alive. It's so good.
Of course, there's also a great bit with women detecting 40 different toxins in the air. When Barney burps, their little detector goes wild to let us know that Barney's burps are even more toxic than the oil air. But because of the toxicity of the fumes and Moe not being able to charge for them, they're having to shut Moe's down. So, of course, Moe gets his shotgun, Barney gets his little derringer, and they both swear revenge on Burns because not enough people have sworn revenge yet.
I do want to note, I forgot to note this earlier, that they've... You know, there are clues planted throughout this entire episode that if they wanted people to actually have a shot at guessing who did it, and also at the same time, at least throwing in some red herrings here and there, in the background of this scene, you see Moe's last name for the first time, actually. Moe Szyslak.
That's the first time we've heard. Oh, wow.
They gave him an MS name because they wanted to have him as a potential suspect. And that's you also, true. I didn't mention this earlier, in the scene where Burns and Skinner are you know, having their little discussion, well, Burns is in disguise, you also see a diploma in the wall in Skinner's office that says W. Seymour Skinner.
W. Seymour Skinner?
Yes, like W. period Seymour Skinner. Like W is an initial for his first name that is never used, which they, I mean, after... There's more problems with Skinner and his name in the later seasons, but... it's just another thing. They have inserted those things throughout this episode, and there's two names right there who, you know, just to make you think, hey, they could be them.
That's true. It's like, huh. Okay. I did not realize any of those things. Thank you for pointing them out, Robbie. I will go ahead and confess that I had no idea who shot Mr. Burns at all whatsoever when the follow-up.
We got to wait for part two.
Oh, of course. Wait for part two. But after Moses shut down, we see a, you know, pulled back view of the layers of the earth. And because of the drilling, for some reason, I guess it was very soft earth above.
Science, the, Matt. That's why. Why aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, science.
Come
of
on.
Course.
Science. That's why there's a. That's why the sinkhole forms. It's science.
Yes. A sinkhole forms beneath the Springfield Retirement Castle and it falls in. It breaks in half. So all of the old folks have to find somewhere else to stay until they fix it.
There's also, if you can look at the quick shot in the after, there are tents in the front yard. Which suggests
really?
That some of those old folks just set up their camping.
Oh, well, hey, that works. It's probably better than going back to some of their families. But after this, and it just goes downhill from there.
Well, sir, you've certainly vanquished all your enemies, the elementary school, the local tavern, the old age home. You must be very proud.
No, not while my greatest nemesis still provides our customers with free light, heat, and energy. I call this enemy the sun. Since the beginning of time, man has yearned to destroy the sun. I will do the next best thing. Block it out.
Good God!
Imagine it, Smithers. Electrical lights and heaters running all day long.
But, sir, every plant and tree will die. Owls will deafen us with incessant hooting. The town sundial will be useless. I don't want any part of this project. It's unconscionably fiendish.
I will not suffer your insubordination. There has been a shocking decline in the quality and quantity of your toadying, Whelan, and you will fall into line. Now!
No. No, Monty, I won't. Not until you step back from the brink of insanity.
I'll do no such thing. You're fired. Take that, Spolarama. Take that, Convenience Smart. Take that, Nuclear Power Plant. Ooh, fiddlesticks.
So, as we can see, Mr. Burns definitely has a plan to block out the sun, and he, well, I suppose that it could happen. I mean, it would cost a ton of money. Right. I don't think Mr. Burns would see much of an ROI.
Come on, science. This is science. All he had to do was create a multi, probably billion-dollar control arm that could put a giant disc over an entire city. And make it come out of a mountain.
I'm not saying it couldn't be done. I'm just saying it'd be really expensive.
And also,
a good idea.
Another clue, the sundial. Smithers.
Oh, that's true.
Smithers purposely mentions the sundial in that scene, and that is just specifically for us to draw our attention to it at the end of the episode.
Ah, well, of course. Then now we know all that, but then we get another point in their favor. I would just point out that I really wish someone would put this out and block the sun in the summertime in Florida. But so far, I guess no one has come up with that idea. But either way, that is how we end the act.
You can get your own personal one, Matt. You swear those hats you like.
You mean the ones with the umbrellas on top? That does sound like a good idea.
No, there's a wide. You have the dad hats you always wear when we go to theme parks.
I know, but the umbrella one where the sun doesn't hit you your head at all. That's what I'm looking into now.
Oh, okay. When we come back, everyone hates Mr. Burns. It has gotten out in the news that he is planning to do this. It's not like he is surprising anyone with this. Like, this is announced. It's in the newspaper. Marge is calling it downright selfish, which, oh, Marge. It is, I mean, it is, that's, she's very, very nice about that. But Grandpa's now living with the family. Lisa, they're startled by him being there at first because they thought Dad had melted. I think that's her reaction to seeing Grandpa. Their initial reaction to their own grandfather is fear.
That's true. They probably haven't seen him that much. And we've established on several occasions at this point that if Grandpa stretches his face out, he looks like Homer. And if Homer, you know, gets wrinkly, he looks like Grandpa. So apparently they look a lot alike.
That's true. Homer is driving to work and he is having visions of Burns forgetting his name.
Smithers, who is that ignoramus? Smithers, who is that lollygagger? Who is that blubberpot? Who is that bafflewit?
Lummox, pudding head,
moon cat,
limp noodle,
drizzle puss,
fumble,
fumble fist. Flute.
Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it!
Look out!
What?
Just a minute.
It's...
Oh, Simpsons dream sequences.
Yeah, they're spectacular. Just like we just, at the end of the last act, we got a good bit of development on Smithers and his motive. We now get more on Homer and his. Obviously, the suspect list grows and grows, and it only more so when we see what Homer is planning on doing when he gets inside the plant.
The devil are you?
Oh, Meg.
Dead. What?
What are you talking about? Don't really make sense, man.
Get up.
I can't understand a word you're
Homer
saying.
Homer Simpson!
You're just babbling
in my name is Homer Simpson!
Oh, you're a dead man, Burns.
Oh, you're dead! You're dead, Burns!
He has spray-painted his name all over Burns' office and is screaming, raving incoherently. I guess he's not incoherent. He is saying, my name is Homer Simpson.
But he's saying it in such a way that it's kind of muffled and that Burns is obviously not paying attention as well.
Darren Castellaneta, whenever he is allowed to kind of stretch his voice and stretch Homer's acting, it's always so great. It's whenever you get out of that normal range, whenever he's very deadpan or whenever he's just yelling and screaming, I always laugh. So Homer is dragged off by security, screaming that he's going to kill Mr. Burns. Then we see that Grandpa, having moved into the house, has also brought his gun into the house.
Hey, the lamp's running away!
That's my dog, man.
So long, Lamp. Now, stop loafing and help your Grandpa unpack.
Wow!
That's my old Smith & Wesson. If you're gonna play with it, be careful, because it's loaded.
Ah! Bart, put that down! Guns are very dangerous, and I won't have them in this house.
How can you have a house without a gun? What if a bear came through the door?
I'm going to bury it in the yard where little hands can't get to it.
You should have fired into the air. She would have run off.
So, another clue. Smith & Wesson. S&W.
Oh, that's true. Also, once again, affirming Bart and Grandpa's motives.
Yes, and the access to a gun. There's always, they are... Even despite the fact that this episode is very funny, it does develop the setup for the mystery very, very well. It is, it lays out multiple clues, develops multiple motives for multiple different suspects. It is, like, exquisitely crafted. We get to the town meeting, and Mayor Quimby is going to politely request Mr. Burns not block out the sun, but he is informed that multiple people are stroking guns, so he decides to just open it up to the floor. This entire scene is really tense and really, really good, because we go through, and it even hasn't been that long, but we do get a nice shot of all these different people who all have a motive. We see Smithers, drunk, disheveled, complain that he got, his problems with Mr. Burns. We get Skinner and Bart and Homer, and half the town, honestly, is upset with Mr. Burns, and then Mr. Burns himself shows up.
Well, those wheels are squeaking a bit. Perhaps I could sell him a little oil.
You twisted old monster!
I've decided to protect myself ever since I was attacked in my office by an unidentified assailant.
Don't! Arr! Burns, your scurvy schemes will earn ye a one-way passage to the boneyard.
I'd like to hear from Sideshow Mel.
I'll see to it that Mr. Burns suffers the infernal machinations of Hell's grim tyrant.
Yeah. Oh, you all talk big. But who here has the guts to stop me? Very well. One last question. Have you ever seen the sun set at 3 p.m.?
Aye, once, when I was sailing round the Arctic...
Shut up, you! Take one last look at the sun, Springfield.
Hey! I've been in Reno for 6 weeks. Did I miss anything? What the...
Oh, Krusty.
That whole scene is wonderful. And they get Krusty in there at the end to just kind of dispel that tension just a little bit. It's all about ebb and flow and... They raise the tension, and just when it's about to break, they break it up and they let it build up again. And the next sequence is basically really, it's extremely eerie. up there with those parts in Cape Fear when Bob, you know, is going to kill Bart with a machete. We're floating around the town and it's in twilight. We see shots of people disappearing. Like Marge is like, all these different people, like, where are these people? Where are they? Where is everybody? It seems like it's a ghost town all of a sudden. We see
everyone came out of the meeting and then just disappeared.
Yeah, everyone just vanished. We see the cigar box that Grandpa's gun was in is dug up. And we see a bullet roll out. It's very eerie. And then finally, we see Burns kind of wandering these twilight streets that are now lit by his nuclear power plant. And then we hear him get shot.
After all these years, things are finally starting to go my way. I feel like celebrating. Oh, it's you. What are you so happy about? I see. Well, I think you'd better drop it. I said drop it. Get your hands off.
Where is everybody?
Mr. Burns staggers out from behind the town hall with, what is it, Jimbo?
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, are you okay?
And he does, Burns, I will not dignify that response. He falls down onto the sundial with his arms outstretched to the W and the S. And we get the townspeople, a crowd gathers around his body.
I don't think we'll ever know who did this. Everyone in town's a suspect.
Well, I couldn't possibly solve this mystery. Can you?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I mean, you know, it's my job, right?
That's one of the best lines in the whole thing.
Yeah, I think you guys are all familiar with it, but at the end of Dr. Hibbert's little line there, he's pointing directly at the camera, and then the camera moves back to show that he's pointing at Chief Wiggum. And that ties into the contest that that Fox had over the summer about people trying to guess who killed Mr. Burns. And if you dialed 1-800-COLLECT, you were eligible, then you could guess who killed him. But we will reveal that in our next episode.
I was about to say, do you want to say who actually won?
No. It's still a mystery. We don't know until the show knows. I remember I watched this the night it aired. Did you, Matt?
I don't believe so. I think I watched it in a rerun later that week.
Okay, I watched this the night it aired. It was a Sunday night. At this point, we had a routine where we watched The Simpsons every Sunday night, and I went to bed afterwards. And I was so amped up after this episode aired. I was like, I was 10 years old, and my mind was racing. Who did it? What happened? Who shot Mr. Burns? I couldn't believe that I had to wait an entire summer for the result to see who actually did it. I was so like excited, anxious, and frustrated at the same time. But this episode is just spectacular.
It is in every possible way superlative. Is the best way I can put it. Everything about it is hilarious. It's got everything you want from a good episode, including and on top of mystery, which we don't normally get with The Simpsons, just because it's not that kind of show. But it's funny. Everyone gets a little bit of character development. There's the whole central mystery. It is way too much fun.
Yeah, and it ties into the history of the show, ties into the supporting cast of Springfield. It like Bart's Comet and like Lemon of Troy, it really makes Springfield feel like a real place. And despite Mr. Burns, like the stuff he does in this is like super cartoonish villainy. It somehow avoids that problem of him being that like mustache twirling kind of villain that he does turn into in later seasons. This is still somehow despite the fact that he's blotting out the sun with a giant disc, he's not a Bond villain. You know, he's very much still the Mr. Burns we know, who at times does kind of shift a little bit into that cartoonish area. I mean, he even makes a Monopoly reference in this episode. But it's when Bart rushes him and he opens up his coat and there's a gun there, you still feel the danger. You still feel like the threat from Mr. Burns. Like he's
a crazy person.
He feels dangerous. Yeah. Which is, I think, a good villain should. Also, his holster is empty at the end of the episode. Should another one of clues that they throw out there. Holster empty. Also, sundown at 3 p.m., which you heard in the clip. All the clocks in this episode almost all say 3 o'clock whenever you see a clock.
It's important. That's when he got shot.
Another clue if you want to think about it like that. Sundial, 3 o'clock, we'll see.
M&S or W&S?
I know. Who knows? We'll rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for my favorite episode. If you have a certain episode that is your favorite, please submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com and I'll read it when we get there. Next up, Matt, it's time for our next segment. It's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, see what people are talking about a week or two after an episode debuted. Unfortunately, I think I mentioned it last week that the archives were basically gone, and they still are. I went all through the summer, and there's like 5 of them. There's very few posts. And
it really makes me wonder if there's somewhere that has them, because that's just terrible. Because this is one of the biggest events in Simpsons history.
This is where they would be, honestly. I don't know where else they could be archived. I mean, Simpsons archive has like limited selections, but I really wanted to see the people like going like who did it, like all their guesses and stuff like that. Because I feel like these the people in this news group are the people who'd be like analyzing all those little bits and pieces and trying to figure it out. But from Simpsons Archive, I did pull. Everyone's super positive on it. Very, very happy with this episode.
I would hope so, but yeah, that's...
I did not expect... The, like, B's were the lowest. Everything else was A's, and mostly A's. A couple B's. Apparently, slant drilling is illegal in Texas?
I would imagine so.
Okay, I didn't know. I just saw that, too. But I think that's what that big sign, you know, Burns slant drilling is just supposed to reference that it is a very illegal thing and Burns doesn't care. It just makes a big sign of it anyway.
Of course.
But that's it. I really wish there was more or something there where I could see people guessing all the different who they think did it. But can't do anything about it. Vanished into the ether.
It's probably somewhere on some hard drive, but we'll never know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Martin moment? That's Martin Prince.
It's a tough one.
It is tough. I went back a ways to get my answer, but we'll see. Okay. We have Dave, his response. We've arrived in the vast cornfields of Canada. How much further to the Grammar Rodeo? Grammar Rodeo? We're going to a Grammar Rodeo? We're not going to a Grammar Rodeo. That was just an alibi, Milton. Martin. That's really good.
Yeah.
Rob, his answer, Martin's dad. We'll see you when you get back from Image Enhancement Camp. Spare me your euphemisms. It's Fat Camp for Daddy's Chubby Little Secret. You promised you wouldn't make a scene. Oh, poor Martin.
Aww.
Holly's answer, Martin Prince sings Summer Wind, butt naked at the end of Bar of Darkness, for sure. It's really good. Dom's answer, Hark to the Tale of Nelson and the Boy He Loves So Dear. They remain the best of friends for years and years and years. That was my bad. I did not do that justice, but I tried. Melanie, in Bart sells his soul when Bart is having the dream. Everyone choose a first mate. Ooh, I pick Martin. Oh, it makes me laugh. Brian's answer, my geode must be acknowledged.
Yeah.
That's really good. Mike's answer, the end of Skinner's sense of snow. Martin realizes the snow had melted with a little help from our friend sodium chloride. Cue Nelson tackling him and beating him senseless. Andrew, at the Andrew blog, sometime guest on our show, I'm surprised, honestly, he's the only one who made this joke. The one where he was feeling rather randy and made gratuitous use of the word butt. Get it, Martin?
Yeah.
Tim at CubbyFan522. Martin quote, "Ah, my plan has come to fruition. Soon I'll be queen of summertime. King. There was a lot of, that was a very popular answer. Lauren at Italia Princess. Here you are, Nelson. Here you are, Nelson. I can't do a strawberry noise. Here you are, Nelson. There you go. There's a YouTube video of that for an hour. Of him just handing it, Nelson knocking it off and doing the strawberry. Someone looped it perfectly. So if you want to watch that for an hour, it's out there for you.
Yeah.
Finally from John, from Barb of Darkness. Take your best shot. I'm wearing 17 layers. I brought this
never
on.
Enough, man. It's
I brought,
never enough.
I brought this on myself. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to go with Fat Camp. Because it's one of the few quotes that doesn't have really have anything to do with Martin's intelligence. It's just where you learn something else about the characters. Because, you know, he's pretty much the nerd, and that's what everyone goes with. But you also learn he's a little bit chubby.
My answer is from season two, from Lisa's substitute in the class president race between him and Bart. As your president, I would demand a science fiction library featuring an ABC of the genre. Asimov, Bester, Clark. What about Ray Bradbury? I'm aware of his work.
It's true. Ray Bradbury wouldn't want to be grouped with those people anyway.
I am a fan of Ray Bradbury, but I just appreciate the intelligence of that joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a reference that requires a lot of, like, someone to be very well-read, or, like, to even, like, get skim the surface of what that joke actually means. But, and Martin Prince would be the guy, the like, little fourth grader that's like, no, Ray Bradbury's overrated.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, next week's question, a little different. Different from our normal, typical thing. I usually go for, like, what's your favorite thing of this and that? This is, if you weren't aware of the answer before you watched this episode, who did you first, over the summer, who did you first think killed Mr. Burns? What was your guess? I'm very curious about what people actually thought. Try and please be honest. Yeah, and there's no shame.
It's going to be a tough one.
I remember what my guess was. And I was wrong, but I had a guess. I think most people did. So I will post this question on all our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, email us again @SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Links to all those things are on our website, which is simply TheSimpsonsShow.com. Next up, Matt, it is time once again for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge. For Matt and I, we challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other this season, season six. We do have a wager. The host that does not win has to mow the other's lawn and their wife's Sunday best. I am the person who will not win. I have been mathematically eliminated. It's all right. I have already picked out a dress. We are going to try and get it done this weekend before we leave. I look good in that dress. I'm not worried about it. You know, I'll be good, confident, but the trivia challenge must go on. Still have a valiant effort I must continue. Matt, give me an easy question.
All right, sir. Your easy question. This is pretty easy. What famous 90s band guest stars in Homerpalooza? And there are four answers to this. Any one of them will be accepted as correct.
Let's see. There is Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins. Homer Simpson smiling politely. Cypress Hill, Sonic Youth. What's the fourth band? I hope you're not counting Frampton. He's not a 90s band.
Oh, well, okay, sorry. Yes, that was Frampton.
Frampton is not a 90s band. He was famous in the 70s.
Whatever.
He was in that. He was in that. But those are three 90s groups.
That's true. They're very 90s. They have popular since.
Do I get extra points because I need more?
I guess I can give you one extra point. You get half a point for the extras.
Okay, Matt, you ready for your easy question?
I am ready.
These are all questions taken from this season.
Ooh, okay.
From episodes this season. So obviously you should get them all, right? We just watched all these episodes.
Yes, yes, I should.
Okay. Easy question. What is the song sung by Ned Flanders at the end of Bart's Comet?
What is the actual name of it? It's just Que Sera Sera, right? By Doris Day?
I will accept that. Que Sera Sera is acceptable.
Oh, what's the actual name of it?
I think that I just wrote Que Sera Sera. I think that is the popular name for it. I think there's like a subtitle or something, but I'm not worried about that. It's an easy question.
Mm-hmm. All right. Give me medium. I agree for your medium question. Yes. All right. What is the name of the festival Homer and the Smashing Pumpkins perform at?
Didn't you just give me the answer to this?
No, I named the episode.
Oh, that's true. Lollapalooza.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
What?
It is Hullabalooza.
Oh, that's right. They changed it because that's stupid. I hate stupid.
Yeah.
Dumb. Okay, your medium question. What year is Lisa's wedding set in? The future part.
2010, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it?
It's 2010.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Give me a hard question.
All right, so your hard question. What can you bungee jump against at Hullabalooza?
Bungee jump against?
In the background, there's a sign that says bungee jump against this.
Oh, right. Bungee jump against hunger?
I'm sorry, it is racism.
Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, I had a good shot at some cause. All right, Matt, your hard question. If you get this, I'll be very impressed.
Oh, Lord.
In Bart of Darkness, two of the characters from Bart's untitled play are mentioned. Who are they?
Okay. Oh, God. I want to say one of them is Eliza Swiffelbottom, but I cannot remember the other one at all. And the name's probably wrong, too.
You done?
I'm done, yeah.
Viceroy Fizzlebottom.
Oh, that's what it was.
And Aunt Helga.
How did I miss Aunt Helga? Oh, my gosh, I'm so dumb.
Yeah, the Aunt Helga one is the easier one. Viceroy Fizzlebottom is just mentioned one time earlier in the episode. Okay, so that ends the Season 6 trivia competition. I lost by a lot. If I do the final tally here. Okay, final tally for Season 6 is Matt with 96, Robbie 75. Not good. I lost by 21 points. We are probably going to change the scope of this moving forward. I just don't see me winning it. So we'll still probably have some kind of contest, something, but it will not involve embarrassing feats anymore because I don't want to have to be doing them once or three times a year for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But we'll figure something out. Charity, something. Let's see. We can move on, Matthew.
We can.
To our final segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever. Best episode ever is the part of the show. Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I already have a spot in mind for this one, Matt.
I'm going to guess it's somewhere in the top 10, maybe the top 5.
You'd be correct.
Okay. Was it top 5 you're thinking?
I'm thinking at 5 exactly.
That's exactly what I was looking for, because I still think Lisa Substitute, Lisa's Wedding, March from Cape Fear, all of those are better. Black Widower, then, I definitely think this is better than that.
Yeah, it's an easy comparison between Black Widower and this one, simply because they are both kind of mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one just does everything Black Widower does, just more of. It crams more in. It's staggering how dense this episode is, not even in the gags and the plot and the character, but even backgrounds. And, you know, they did substantial amount of works to just fill in every small little tiny gap in this with something. And it is a reason that everyone kind of very fondly remembers this, you know, the two-parter.
It's true, and really the only thing Black Widow has over this is Sideshow Bob, but because of the extraordinary performances of the standard voice actors and all the other characters, I think that it's not as good as it could be. I think that Sideshow Bob, having Kelsey Grammer do the voice, is not does not come close to putting it over Who Shot Mr. Burns.
No, I think that Kelsey Grammer is always going to elevate any episode he's in, simply because he's so spectacular at being Sideshow Bob. But I feel like we already have Cape Fear is number one because of in large part because of his performance. So I think just Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1, number 5 on our list, right above Black Widow, or right below Lisa Substitute. Number 1 on the list, Cape Fear for now, but Season 7 is now upon us, Matt.
Oh, man. I think we got two more seasons where we're just going to be at a loss for where to rank these things.
What is our next episode, Matt?
Our next episode, surprisingly enough, is Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2.
That is correct. It is Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. Again, I remind everyone, in 2 weeks' time, you know, we're taking a week off. I think we've only done that once prior. That was because of scheduling mishaps. So, you can find this list on our website, SimpsonsShow.com, broken down by season and in total Treehouse of Horror segments, broken out individually as well. Plus links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, obviously new episodes downloadable and streaming, and link to our Patreon. If you think the show's worth a dollar or two, throw them our way. We really appreciate it. See, before we go, you can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Cheryl. That's MixmasterCereal. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true, except this weekend I will be hiding in a hole from responsibilities. Unless you have a giant earth-thumping machine and no Morse code, I'm probably not going to notice. Sorry, guys.
I'm Robbie.
You'd be surprised how many people have those machines. And I'm Matt.
Keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.